Hey y'all, welcome to Past Chaos, a podcast that gives you a raw and unfiltered insight on marriage, divorce, relationships, blended families, the crazy adventures of parenting, and so much more. Join us each week as we take you on a journey inside our wild and chaotic lives and show you how we handle the craziness when life happens. We're definitely not professionals, and we'll probably get you into more trouble than you bargained for. But what we do have is a sense of humor, street smarts, and a few decades of experience under our belts. Whether you're a mom, dad, stepmom, stepdad, happily married, or divorcee, maybe you haven't even taken the plunge into adulthood. Don't worry, Past Chaos has something for you. So sit back, grab your wine or whiskey, and enjoy the chaos. Welcome to season 4 of Past Chaos. Hello, everybody. It has been a while, and it's been a shit show, but it wouldn't be normal if it were any other way. I did promise a big announcement, but I think I'm going to do it a little at a time. First things first, there are some major changes taking place here at Past Chaos. Lauren has decided to pursue other adventures, and I wish her nothing but the best in the future. We can go into that in more detail later, but for now, the show must go on. Luckily, I found this crazy guy that I know to be my new co-host. You may have heard of him. Please welcome Papa Gator. And he's looking real cool in his shades right now.
Hi, everyone. I look real good.
I can't put up with this. See,
you see me? I look good.
I see you, Roy, wearing your damn shades inside.
You see them lips? Oof. Fire.
Oh my God. Okay. Thanks for agreeing to be my partner again. And this time I didn't even make you get a marriage license to solidify this relationship.
Thank the good Lord.
Okay. I'm going to let that one slide because it's been a rough start to this recording. When Lauren and I started Past Chaos, we wanted to do so in order to help other blended families find peace and happiness the way that we had. As many of you know, it's not always been sunshine and rainbows for the Kirk side of this equation. However, the Kirks aren't the only blended family in this dynamic, and Roy's been telling me for a long time that he's just got such great advice to offer that I should allow him to come in here and take over, because, you know, that's what he does best.
I never said anything like that.
Well, I may have paraphrased. Anyway, Roy and I have been doing this blended family thing for what? Close to 20 years now, and we're pretty damn good at it.
Yeah, we're the OGs.
We are the OGs. I know a lot of people don't like change, and I have to admit that I've been hesitant about change in the past, but sometimes change is necessary, and in this case, change is a good thing. Even though we can't promise that things are going to be exactly the same, we can promise to bring you a great show each week.
If Roy can figure out how to use technology.
That's, you know, TBD. Let's get started. How have you been, Roy?
I've been okay.
You celebrated a big milestone recently. 20 years in the Marine Corps.
Yeah, that just gives me heartburn thinking about it.
Maybe that's what's been wrong with you lately with all your heartburn.
Yeah, I bet.
That's what 20 years in the Corps does to you. How does it feel to be the old man in your career, though?
I mean, it is a little weird. I've really been feeling the urge to move on with my life soon. So that's been difficult as well.
Well, we'll have to get back to you on that one. Speaking of careers, I decided to come out of retirement and go back to work. So in the last 6 months, I got really serious on my job search, and I just wanted the perfect job. It took me a while to figure out exactly what I wanted to do, but when I figured it out, it was game on. Roy's been there through this process the entire time. And holy shit, let me tell you about the nightmare of a job search. There's scams, and then the interview process has really changed. I know when you and I talked about it not too long ago, and you were saying that when you got out of the Marine Corps, you dreaded looking for a job because of the hell that I've gone through. John retired. It took him 6 months to find a job. It's like cutthroat out there.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to like go out on my own or something. I don't know if I can deal with a job market and the hustle of trying to find something, you know, via the internet. Like I can barely get my computer to log on.
Yeah, I know. I got lucky because I did have three companies that were interested in me, and I had my heart set on one of them. But after serious thought, I got the offer and I made the decision to accept the position at my top choice. You ever just have a feeling about something, especially a job? And I know you've been doing the same job for 20 years now, so I don't know if you remember what it was like being out in the real world, but you get this feeling that you just know this is where you belong, like from the very beginning.
I remember getting a few jobs, and obviously most of those were like word of mouth jobs, right? Before I joined the Marine Corps. And I remember like just catching a vibe from people, you know, maybe it was the boss of a job or something like that. And as you know, most of my jobs were manual labor jobs. So I would catch a good vibe from somebody or I wouldn't, you know. And I remember turning one down one time because I just didn't get a good vibe from the individual. And then not even a few days later, another person said something and I was like, I think I'm going to go this direction. You know, it was less money at first, but it paid off in the end.
I didn't realize that. But when I was doing my interviews, there were a couple of people that I interviewed with and I'm like, oh, man, I just wouldn't want to work for this company if this is who's interviewing and they just have no spunk or happiness or desire. It's like they're miserable to even be there in the interview. This isn't where I want to spend my days. I want to go to work and be motivated and happy. And I've been able to do that since I started this new job. It's really, I mean, it's just great. I'm happier than I think I've ever been in a job. So I'm excited.
Yeah, you know, somebody once told me, or maybe I just heard it, or I don't know, even maybe read it. Surprisingly, I do read that people forget that during the interview process, you are also interviewing your potential future employer and the company. It's not always about them deciding if you're good. It's also about you deciding if they're the right fit for you. And I know that can be scary, especially if you like don't have a job and you're trying to get a job. You're kind of, you almost, you know, may overextend yourself and be like, yeah, I'm just going to do it because I need a job. But I think it's important to always remember that it's a two-way street and you're evaluating them as much as they're evaluating you.
I'm glad I took this year off and I really took my time and waited for what I wanted and didn't just jump at the first thing that was offered to me, because this has turned out to be just such a great career and something that I doubted myself on, that I didn't think I was going to be able to do, that I wasn't smart enough for. And it just goes to show that you shouldn't doubt yourself because, you know, you're pretty smart.
Yeah, I'd say you're pretty smart.
I know. Thanks.
I tied you down one time.
Yeah, you did. I'm going to tell a funny story at the end of our podcast about one of my interviews. But now let's get started on this episode. So it was brought to my attention recently that someone was talking about my parenting. And this person made a comment that I was a bad mom because I was raising a disrespectful child. Now, first of all, I hate when parents, especially mothers, women, judge other mothers and women, especially when they don't have validity to their remarks. And I know where this came from because Tanner was a turd on the soccer field months ago. So this woman was basing her decision on whether or not I was a good parent off of Tanner having a, you know, a little fit on the soccer field. So that brought me to this topic that I wanted us to dive into today. Do you ever worry that you're not getting it right or that you won't get it right when it comes to parenting?
No, I don't worry at all. I know I'm going to mess it up.
Oh, good answer. So I think for myself in particular, I like to be perfect at everything. And I know that is such a far-fetched idea and not a rational one by any means, because nobody's perfect. Mistakes are what teach us in life and allow us to grow. When I came up with this idea, it was a few weeks ago when I was spending time with our middle daughter, Taylor. So I thought this would be a good two-part podcast. This week, you and I will talk about it, and maybe next week they can join in and kind of solidify what we think on this. Let's give a little history. You and I got married, and I already had two daughters from my first marriage. I think they were around 6 and 8 years old. And you stepped right in. Was that scary?
Honestly, not at all. That wasn't what I was concerned about at first. No. I mean, it was definitely something I considered, but I remember that I was willing to take on any challenge I needed to because I was in love with you so much.
You weren't scared of me? Was I the scary part of that?
No, not really. I think I was more concerned with how was I going to respond to having to change. I was a wild single man that was like about to become a dad and husband. And it was, you know, all of that together was very overwhelming.
We had our ups and downs with Jerry before you and I got married. But I remember you meeting with Jerry and having a really good conversation. I wasn't privy to, but you had a conversation. Yeah. And I guess in that conversation, I will absolutely paraphrase this. You just reassured him of your good intentions with me and the girls.
Yeah, I remember this conversation very well. It happened at a gas station. Yeah, I mean, Jerry, rightfully so, you know, even though at that time in Jerry's life, he was a firecracker just like I was, you know, rightfully so, he was concerned and he had his own reasons. And I think the fact that I was, I don't want to use the word I want to use, but I'm going to anyways. I guess I would say that I was man enough to call him and say that we needed to have a conversation, you know, on neutral ground about things. I think that that's when he realized that, like, I wasn't trying to hop into your pants and hop into the house and all those things. You know, it was a little bit more than that. And I think that put him at ease when that happened.
So from then on, you sort of took over the communication with Jerry regarding the girls and anything that pertained to that, because I'm going to call myself out like I do very often. Somebody asked me the other day, what do I love about myself? It's a friend that I've had since we started the podcast and our blog. She's always remained very steady in my life. And she asked me this question. I surprisingly was very quick to answer her. I started thinking about it later in the day, and I'm like, you know what? In the last year, I've really tore myself down and built myself back up. And there's so many things that I do love about myself now. And I could have answered that question with so many responses, but I chose something very different. But anyway, I was thinking about, I love that I'm able to be vulnerable and honest, no matter how it makes me look, because I think that people, number one, they relate to that. And number two, they respect you more when you're honest and able to open up and tell the good and the bad about yourself. During that time, you took over communication with Jerry because I was being an idiot. And I was still carrying around a lot of hurt and pain from my divorce. So I wasn't ready to make nice. And you knew that was tearing us apart, you and I. And it wasn't a good situation for the kids. So thank God you stepped in with maturity and intelligence while letting me know I was being an ass. But it set the stage for the rest of our lives, quite frankly, because until I was ready to fully heal and move past the pain that I had endured during my marriage and divorce to Jerry, you stepped right in and made things go as smoothly as possible. And I don't think our girls ever knew what was going on.
No, I don't think they knew at all either. But yeah, I do remember that time, basically like first year and a half, you know, like as we dated and then got married, like I remember you were hateful towards, you know, Jerry, and he responded in kind, you know, right back to it being hateful. And it made like a volatile environment, you know, where like at any moment, the wrong word or the wrong text or the wrong phone, you know, something could ignite and cause a lot of hate and discontent, and it bled over into our relationship. And I do remember like telling you, like, you don't have to live like this. You know, we don't have to do it this way. We can do it a different way. At the time, I didn't know what the different way was, but I just knew that there had to be a better way to do this. And maybe at that time, I also was still young and naive and just believed that there was better ways to do it. And luckily, we found a better way, and you are right. It paved the way for the rest of our lives as we know it. I mean, you know, I don't think you could look back and say that life would be like this with all of us back then. You would have been like, yeah, right. No way. But It's been a pretty amazing journey.
It really has. And I'm glad that you did what you did to step in and help me realize that I was being ridiculous. Because in the end, I mean, it's all about the kids. And our girls, and Tanner included, have really been able to have such a great life because we've been able to move past all of our issues and get along with each other and build this strong bond. And I love it. And I wouldn't have it any other way. When we were raising the girls together, did you ever worry that you were just totally getting things wrong, that you were going to mess these kids up and they were going to grow up to be adults and really think, what the hell were my parents doing?
Honestly, no.
Well, I did.
I was, well, what I will say, the reason no is my answer is because I didn't have any other information or knowledge that, you know, we would, you know, screw them up. I knew that I was a good person. I knew that you were a good person. And I knew that we were going to do the best that we could to provide for them and try to teach them to be independent and be respectful and to be hardworking. I knew that we weren't going to always get it right, you know, because parenting is not a, like, it's not, there's not a book. I mean, there's books written about how to be good parents, but you got to remember those books are from people who have experienced parenting, right? And if they haven't experienced parenting, I'm going to be honest with you, I wouldn't read their book because
I agree.
You can't just study and then come up with, oh, well, this is how you should do it based off of this. Like, no, that's not how any of that works. Like, you have to parent. And so back to one of your original comments that when you said that somebody said that you weren't doing a good job because your child was disrespectful. Well, I challenge that individual to how old are their children and do they think their children are perfect? And is that actually how you're going to judge another human? Because we do things disrespectful as adults all the time. Does that mean you want to call my mom who's 60 years old and tell her that she raised a disrespectful child? I mean,
Touché.
Who's perfect, right? Who's perfect in the world?
Listen, I'll be the first to tell you that I used to sit back and look before my kids were old enough. I would look at other people with teenage kids or kids that were a little older than mine and say, oh, man, your children are a reflection of you. Boy, have I eaten those words, because they're not always a reflection of you. I don't just go around disrespecting people, but sometimes my kids do. Sometimes I disrespect people and my kids don't. I mean, it's just, it's a two-way street. And I think, like you just said, no one's a perfect parent. And who are we to judge each other on their parenting? As long as you're not neglecting or harming your children in any way, you're just doing the best you can.
I mean, if you really like thought about it, right? And you are like one of a handful of individuals who knows my very colorful past in my teenage years. Could you imagine? I think about it sometimes, like, what did my parents feel and think when I did some of the things that I did when I was a fairly new teenager? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, did my independent decisions then really reflect on them? No. I knew what I was doing. I knew that I was doing something wrong. My parents taught me right from wrong, but I'm an individual. Like, I think people forget that about children, that like, children are individuals. And based off of their experiences, they make decisions. And based off of their personalities, they make decisions. And so, like, that doesn't mean that the parent failed. There are long histories of, like, these amazing people who have children that did stupid shit. That mm-hmm. doesn't mean that they were bad parents. It just means that their child, for whatever, their personality, they did things. I mean, do you think my parents thought that I would be successful after 20 years in the Marine Corps and have achieved what I have in the Marine Corps back when I was 14 years old doing some really, really dumb shit?
It's so funny that you brought that up, because your brother and I were having that conversation a few weeks ago. And I guess I was thinking of, or I was talking to him about Tanner and saying, you know, I just hope I'm doing something right. I hope I'm getting it right, so that when he does get older, he's just a good human being. That's all we want, right? As parents, we just want our kids to grow up and be good human beings. And you don't know until it happens. So we referenced you, like, you know, Roy wasn't the greatest teenager, but look at him now. Like, he's just a great man, and he's a great human being, and he's accomplished so many things. So there's hope. There's hope, people.
Yeah, I think that, like, I mean, using Tanner as an example, I mean, he just learned a very valuable lesson. And it's something that I talked to him about a year and a half ago when he made another really dumb decision. And I remember telling him, I said, Tanner, there's going to come a point in your life that certain decisions that you make, you will take the control away from your parents, because we can't always fix everything. And you need to be very mindful of that when you start to make some of these decisions, because we're going to love you no matter what. And we're going to do our damnedest to take care of you and give you all the opportunities that we can. But, like, there are times when you might do something and there's not a thing that we can do about it. And you're going to have to learn that. And I also think that that's kind of life, right? Like, parents forget that, like, sometimes you have to let someone fail. Now, I'm not saying to let them fail and go down some road and make these, you know, catastrophic decisions that could change the rest of their life. But, like, I mean, in Tanner's case, right? He didn't listen. He wanted to play the game. He didn't want to do his schoolwork. And that got him. And the school said, no, you're not allowed to do this now. And it was like, well, dad can't make a phone call. Mom can't make a phone call. Like, now you understand that, like, not doing your schoolwork can impact things that you want to do with your life. And I'm really happy that it happened. I really am, because he needed to learn that lesson. And I hope that, like, he does the right thing with that now.
Well, he is so far. So I think we're doing something right.
Yeah. And I think it also, like, applies to other things though, right? Like, you have to be careful to, like, think that it only applies to schoolwork, right? It doesn't. Now Tanner understands that, like, if he doesn't do something or fails to do something, that, like, it will have an impact. And, like, that can be anything, right? You don't show up on time for work. Well, maybe you get fired. You know, it all relates, right? Like, now he has learned a lesson of, like, you know, there are things that are required of you that equal things that you want to do. And it can be across all the different spectrums.
You know what's great is having grown kids, because while they're little, you're always thinking, or at least I was, I'm making a mistake, and how are they going to turn out? But now that we have grown children, they're able to tell us, hey, mom, dad, you made this mistake, or hey, you did this really well. And our girls turned out to be really good humans. They really did. They're great moms. They're great wives. They're just good people. I'm going to ask myself this, and I want you to tell me your response to what you think the biggest mistake you made when raising the girls. And mine, and this is something that you brought to my attention, when we lived in Hawaii, the girls, that was when they were becoming teenagers and they wanted to go out with their friends a lot. And I was always the no mom. I was always the mom that wanted to shelter the kids and keep them in a bubble because of how my life was when I was a teenager and the things that happened to me. I wanted to make sure that that didn't happen to my girls. I didn't want them to be teen moms and have to make really tough decisions like I did. So I thought, well, if I'm just overprotective and don't allow them to do a lot, then that can't happen, right? And you were right there to say, hey, loosen the apron strings. Like, it's time for them. They have to go out and make mistakes, and they have to be able to learn to become their own independent people. So I asked the girls about that recently, like, hey, as a mom, how'd I do? Like, how would you grade me? You know, they're like, mom, you were a really good mom. I'm like, no, really. It's not going to hurt my feelings. I can take it, when really I probably can't take it, because you never want to hear how bad you were as a mom or a person. But they were really honest in telling me that I did a great job. I was very overprotective and they wish I hadn't have been. But it also made them grateful because now they are the people that they are because of the way they were raised. And I was just really proud of that, to know that you did a good job, you know?
Yeah. I mean, all of our kids are kind of older, obviously. I mean, 10 or 16 now. So, I mean, I think looking back, and you can giggle and laugh at this comment, I think I failed to apply enough pressure on school with the girls. And I think that was because of the path that I chose. I just knew that I was always going to be a laborer, a worker, like a physical worker, you know, automotive industry, agricultural stuff, you know, landscaping, I just knew that was what I was going to do. Right. And I think a lot of times I accepted lesser on the education side because that's what I had kind of accepted for myself, right? And I didn't realize how valuable that is, even though I've been told many a times that it's extremely valuable. I never pursued that. So, like, I didn't understand. And so I wish I was a little bit stricter and, you know, demanded more in that realm, because as a middle-aged adult, I understand the opportunities that allows. And I also, as I'm very close to my bachelor's degree at 40 years old, realize how difficult it is to be an adult learner and try to get degrees and do other things with your education as you get older, because you start a family, you start working a job, you know? And now I respect why it's so valuable for a child to do good at school and then hopefully do college before they enter the workforce, before they enter marriage, before they make babies, right? Because it's so difficult to do that post. So that's kind of the one regret I have.
And I'll tell you how important that is for job searching for the last 6 months, like I have. You don't realize how important that little degree is until you're trying to get a job that you know you're very capable of doing and you have the experience and the intelligence to do. But when you don't have that little piece of paper that says you can do that job, you're not getting that job. And it sucks. So right. Kids, go to school, do your work, get a degree.
Yeah. The funny part about it is, like, it doesn't matter whether you're going to go into being an educator or being in business or finance or mathematics or science. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, go get that college degree at 22 years old. If you want to go right out and, like, be like, yep, I went to college, I did all the things, and you know what? Now I'm going to go drive an earth mover and work in a rock quarry. Like, nobody cares. You've already done it. Go have fun and do what you want to do.
But you always have that to fall back on.
Yeah. You know, like, I mean, I just recently told you, like, you know, like you said, I hit 20 years in the Marine Corps and I was thinking about it and I'm like, man, like, I hate to say it, but, like, I kind of would like to go do something else. And then I thought about it in the back of my head. I was like, oh shit, I need to finish this daggone bachelor's degree. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and I was like, damn it. It's just important. It opens doors. It opens doors, and you may not even use it, but it just opens a door that you don't even know is closed until you have it. And then you don't know. You just never know.
That's true. I'll tell you this to ease your mind. You may think you weren't hard on the kids about their grades, but I had this conversation with our oldest daughter last night, as a matter of fact, and she was asking how Tanner's doing in school. And I was telling her the situation that we'd just gone through with him not getting good grades. And now he's really working hard. And she was like, wow, Mom, if I would have done that, you and Dad would have grounded me forever. And I had to get certain grades. So, you know, whether you thought that you were doing it right or not, she thought that you really cared about what grades she got and how well she did in school. So there you go. Just goes to show you.
Well, I mean, I think the piece that I don't know that maybe I can, like, lay on top of it, like, being hard on school is, like, Haley was one of those types of children that like was conscientious about like doing her work and getting her things done.
Yes.
And Taylor was just wicked smart and like could do nothing and then get 100 on a test. And then Tanner is like just wicked lazy.
Yes.
And is naturally gifted at so many things that like if he's not challenged, he doesn't do it. And so I think one of the things that I lay on top of it is at the end of the high school, you know, that 11th and 12th grade year of like continuing to press and make, I guess, make education important as it, in other words, saying like, you're going to college, you're just going to go do it. And like, it's going to happen. I was less forceful on that as the girls got older. Like I was more like, yeah, you know what? Hey, you know, pick whatever way you want to go. And now I'm like, yeah, this is where you're going to go. And this is what you're going to go do. And then when you're 22 and you have a bachelor's degree, you can go work a ski lift in freaking Colorado and party it up. I don't care. It's the follow through, like after the high school time. If Tanner ever listens to this podcast, unfortunately, buddy, you're about to feel the pain because I'm coming home.
And I'm so ready for that. You have no idea.
It's going to be home like Donkey Kong. And I know he don't even know what that is anymore. Sega Genesis.
He doesn't. But oh, well, we do. Okay, y'all. We hope you enjoyed the show. Roy, what do you think we're going to have? What does everybody have to look forward to with us? Because they love the dynamic between Lauren and I. And we our banter back and forth. People that have watched the show love you and I and our back and forth. So we can talk about all the things, right? You can be one of the girls. I can be one of the guys. We can discuss marriage, divorce, sex, drugs, rock and roll, all the things.
Of course.
You're going to make them laugh, make them cry, make them fall in love.
I mean, have you seen me?
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
That's what I do.
All right. Stay in touch with us. We love to hear from our listeners. Send us topics that you'd like us to discuss. And if you want to learn more about us and get a more personal insight on the craziness that is our lives, follow our social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Also, you can now stream season one of You, Me, and My Ex on Discovery Plus. We like to end the show with a funny. So this is going to be up to you each week. You got to find something that's going to make them laugh. So my what the heck moment of the week, I want to talk about one of my interviews. So when you're getting a job nowadays, you got to interview like 16 times. So I was on my 17th interview and I'm thinking, I got it. Like if they don't know by now that they love me, then what the hell am I doing here? So they ask me this questions and I respond. And then we start getting into kind of a personal banter. And the guy that's interviewing me is talking about his teenagers and I've talked about my teenagers and he's like, well, I have teenage daughters. I was like, oh yeah, I got some of those. I had some of those too. They're all grown up now. And he said, let me ask your advice. What do you do about them sneaking in, sneaking out of the house? And I said, well, I actually have a funny story about that. And I'm thinking, April, everything that I've looked at on the internet about how to interview and everybody that I've talked to says, don't get too personal. Don't give too much. And I'm like, you know what? This is me. And I'm just an honest person. And I love being vulnerable and just putting it all out there. So I said, you know what? My daughter, she snuck in the house one time because she missed her curfew. And it was her last time. And he says, what did you do? And I said, well, I was born and raised in the South. We carry guns around here. I said, she came in the door. I didn't. All I heard was somebody coming in my house. And I'm going to protect my house. So I thought, well, it can't be one of my kids because they know better, right? They know better than to come in this house at 3 a.m. So I grab my gun. I come around the corner, point it right at the face of the person that's coming through my door. And it happened to be my daughter. And she flipped shit. Mom, are you crazy? You're going to shoot me. No, I'm not going to shoot you. But I was going to shoot someone that came into my home uninvited. And why are you here after 3 a.m. in the morning when you're supposed to be home by midnight? He thought that story was great. And I ended up getting hired for that job. So this just proves be yourself. Tell the truth. They're either going to like you or they're not.
There you go.
That's all the time we have for today. Thanks so much for listening and hanging out with us. Make sure you don't miss out on any of this train wreck and chaos by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Be sure to tune in each Monday when we release a new episode. Don't forget, life happens, so just enjoy the chaos.